Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge. Real talk about real issues.
Welcome everybody to the On The Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Thank God for another opportunity for us to be here. We've all been through all of these really bad articles and situations of sadness among our children and among other things that's been going on. So I want to let you know that we should be very thankful that we are all here, able to mix it up once again. Before I get into the shout-outs, I want to send out a prayer and another notification that Avante Okenye, a 14-year-old autistic boy that disappeared from his special needs school on October the 4th, is still missing. The last time that he was seen was leaving his Queens school in black jeans, black sneakers, and a gray striped shirt. So if anyone has seen him, the police are looking for your help. Please give a call to the tips line at 1-800-577-TIPS, or you can text the word 577-TIP to the word crimes in your cell phone. Okay, I believe it's 274-637, but I will make sure that I get that correct at the end of the, before the broadcast is up. But please, this family is going bananas. They definitely don't know one way or the other what's going on with their little boy. That little boy is not able to speak, so he's probably scared to death wherever he is. So I ask for all of you to continue your prayers and your search and be on the lookout for him, please, whatever you do. We will be posting his picture back up on the Edge Show page and on my personal page, Katie Barnett, on Facebook. Now we will get into our shout-outs, and that is to our consultant, Mr. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio in New York, currently with iFullRadio.com. You can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he is out there giving us the best of R&B events as the CEO of Track One Entertainment Company. He is definitely great at what he does, and if you guys haven't seen it, keep on the lookout. When Barry posts an event, be the first one, if you can, to reach out to him for some tickets, because they go quick and they go fast, and that's the same thing, but they do. And to Stephanie Hannon-Tillette, she has been a wonderful, wonderful advocate in helping us reach out to the community and know what's going on with certain issues. And if all should go well before this week is out, there will be a healthcare wellness awareness segment that will be happening right here on the On The Edge Show with Stephanie and with a representative of one of the insurance companies that is taking new people in under the Obamacare law. So if you are interested and you don't have insurance, or you would like insurance to be a little less costly, you know, listen in and see what you can do, what we can do for you here on the On The Edge Show when that day happens. We will keep you posted. I also want to thank Marcia Morgan of Simply Sensational Inc., who also helps out with giving us their expertise and community things that they deal with and how they reach out. To my team, Lady Diamond and Elaine Yeathers and Monster Miles, two of the most wonderful people that are out there working just as hard to make sure that this show brings you information, research, opportunities, community guests, and everything else that comes along. We want to thank all of you that have now brought up our listenership to 13,954 people. We are just this close to making 14,000. And whatever it is that we do for you, I appreciate the fact that all of you keep coming back, very much so. And you've reached out and you've been giving us feedback and you've been actively involved, which brings me over to my next shout-out. To that wonderful group out there on Facebook, the Real World Black News and Discussion Group, you guys have been absolutely phenomenal in assisting with pre-broadcast topic discussions, with giving me your feedback, with some intriguing debates online, some great viewpoints. You guys have been active listeners here, and I appreciate the support. So does my team. I'm speaking on behalf of all of us and on behalf of the people out there that need more intriguing viewpoints like what you guys offer out there. So thank you very much for that. I do want to say that we have talked about some very, very sensitive subjects in the last 2 weeks, and people have been here. We have been getting callers from all over the U.S., which I appreciate very much. So I want to thank Blog Talk Radio also, because Blog Talk Radio has just announced that we have become a featured show, which was an honor, because apparently the administrative staff has been listening in to our content, and they found us to be special enough to be featured on their site as one of their featured hosts and shows. So it was an honor for that to happen, and I appreciate all that you guys have done to show us that we're doing something that's worth your time and worth your value. So we appreciate that. We are going to be speaking tonight about another yet sensitive subject, which definitely has sparked in quite a bit of reaction. I want to thank Dolores Milligan, formerly of the Ladies of Sky, who has been actively involved with answering my pre-topic broadcast questions and giving her insight, both from a professional standpoint and just from being a woman and a mother. And she's been absolutely fantastic with offering us her time. She's just a wonderful person. So has Mr. Barry Mason. He has definitely filled in. And one of the other people that we definitely cannot forget when we say thank you is Deacon Betty Williams. He has been on this panel actively giving us his feedback and his expertise, having been on the bad side of the tracks of his life once and now having grown up to become an advocate for those people in the bad stuff that he's trying to get right, and also to help us with community programs and outreach as well. So Deacon, if you're out there and you're listening, thank you very much for all that you have done since this show aired, and I appreciate it all the way through, so just to let you know. So now, tonight's topic, everyone, is called The Parent Chronicles the Spanking War, and this is that subject that apparently has sort of ties into all of the other viewpoints that we have had in previous segments from different angles, mainly government interference. But now with all of the other things that we have spoken about regarding the way that some of these parents have been putting the twerking videos out, how the youth are going astray, how there's been things that the youth have been sorely missing from this generation that really we were the last ones to have it. But is spanking, should be considered abuse or not? Is spanking a necessity to this day in this modern day and age? That is the question tonight. I do ask that everyone that gets on there as passionate as the subject is, let's keep this show as adult and mature as it's been, and let's keep it to the point where we will definitely be airing any different opinions with respect. Now, I don't have to say that to any of you that's been there, but you all know we've had a couple of people that's come in and have tried to take the show off the track that we try to keep it on. So after the break, we will definitely be in to start this conversation. So I'm going to be going out right now with Kenny G, Don't Make Me Wait for Love, and I'll be back in 4.5 minutes. Thank you guys for hanging out.
Staring at your picture, waiting for your call.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, and that was Kenny G with Don't Make Me Wait for Love. And I love that song. Now, we are talking about the Parent Chronicles, the Spanking War. And for those of you that's just joining us, the topic tonight is asking this question. Is spanking still necessary in this day and age for our children, and should it be considered abuse? That is the question. Now, I have our first panelist on the line, and I will be bringing our co-host in as well. Just give me 2 seconds, and they will be in to join us. 1 second. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening, Ms. Barnett.
Hello there, Deacon Williams. How are you?
All right. I am blessed.
Okay, well, I was hoping that you heard. I want to thank you for all that you've done for the show up to this point. I'm going to bring in our co-host in, and then we can get our topic discussion started.
Okay.
Good evening, Ms. Elaine. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Hi, Katie. Hello, Deacon.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on, lady?
I'm doing good.
All right.
Welcome both to the show. And I want to say this. We three have discussed this particular topic at severe length, okay? So I know definitely that you both are very passionate about the situation, as I am. Now, I posted our pre-broadcast topic today, and I got a lot of feedback. And I was actually surprised to see that a lot more people were in favor of it. And then there was a modification that to that answer that everybody also agreed on, which got me. So now this is the situation. Everybody that I spoke with the exception of a couple, said that they approve of spanking when necessary, but they believe that it's depending on, first, the situation, definitely the manner in which the spanking is given, meaning that it becomes abuse when kids are in the hospital, or they're beaten within an inch of their life, or when someone did it while they were angry and caused an injury. Okay? So my question to you, Deacon, first, is what's your say on that matter?
Say it again, please.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear? We can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, you were going in and out for a minute there.
Okay. I said the consensus with the pre-broadcast topic question was that everybody, that except for a couple, agreed with spanking, but believed that it's depending on the manner in which it was given. Like, in other words, if the kid is beaten to within an inch of their life and hospitalized, that's abuse. Or if that type of situation is done on a daily basis, that's abuse. But if the person spoke about, you know, warned the kid or whatever it is, before that happened, and they did it to be taught a lesson, then, you know, it's just considered a spanking. So I'm asking what your viewpoint is on the matter.
Well, a spanking and a beating are two different things. Now, if you want to talk of a beating is where you beat a child to the point to where, like you said, almost to the end of their life, or put them in the hospital or something. That is abuse. That is abuse. Mm-hmm. But a spanking is just a show of discipline. And after the spanking, you should sit down with the child and explain to them why they got that spanking, and let them know that you do love them. It's not that it's not done with love. It's not done without love. Most importantly, it is done with love because you care about them. And a lot of people lose track of that. I've had some beatings when I was little, but I was the type of little guy that, boy, a lot of times I deserved them, you know. And I could think back and remember one time when I burned down the backyard.
Wow. No, not you.
I was playing campfire I didn't move away to dry the leaves and everything away from where I was making my little campfire, and it started catching and spreading. I was trying to stomp it out, but my feet were too small to put the flames out. So what I did was I panicked and I ran back in the house. And this was on a Sunday afternoon. My mother and my grandmother was in the kitchen cooking, and I just ran in the house. I didn't say anything. So my mother happened to go over to the kitchen sink, and at the kitchen sink there was a window that looked right into the backyard. And she happened to look up. She's like, "Oh, my Lord." She said, "The backyard is on fire." And we had a huge backyard. It was like, it looked like the woods. The further back you went, the more trees there was. And it was lit up.
Wow.
When I heard her say that, I started crying. I was like, oh. I said, I was trying to play campfire. And it got out of control. She said, "Campfire? I'm a campfire, yo, you know what, boy.
Fire your butt."
So,
well,
so that was one of the instances I deserved a beating. So,
yeah,
you know, and there's a few other things that I got into, but I knew I deserved them now that I'm an adult and I look back on some of those things. But I'm still here after beating. I'm not dead, but I'm here for a reason. So, you know, it helped. That's for sure. It didn't kill me, but it made me better.
I can say that. I mean, when you're little, you don't get it. You see switches, and I mean, we had it bad. We speak about this all the time. We were told to go pick the weapon, you know, that they wanted. Get a switch, go get the belt, go hand me the shoe, something. But usually when we got to that point with our parents, it's because we did something outrageous, like outrageously crazy, could have been dangerous, you know, could have been something that caused a different type of whatever. And
they're like, "Boy, a campfire."
Yeah, hello. Burning down the whole backyard, you came to us.
The whole backyard, even part of the neighbor's backyard, too. So.
Oh, yeah. And then that cost you my money that didn't have to happen.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true. So I my viewpoint is that, you know, spanking definitely is necessary at some point today. I don't care what. These experts come in, and you know how I feel about government interference. You know, it's funny how they never know when they're supposed to interfere. For example, why is this kid missing still, you know? But the thing that I feel is that timeouts don't work for everything. It definitely doesn't work on a hard-headed kid that wants to, you know, show their oats or puff up their chest to their parents. If there's a 3-year-old or a 1-year-old baby who doesn't really even know how to speak the English language just yet, you know, and they happen to find something metal and corner out of an open outlet somewhere, and wants to go stick that thing inside, and you're saying, "No, honey, stop, don't do that. That's not stopping them." So they need a tap on the hand or the butt or something so that they could associate what they're about to do with pain and not want to do it. And I'm not saying S&M by any means, but, you know, it's the point where some things require instant impact. And going out there to go pick up a hammer to go smash somebody in the head with it, I think that requires a SWAT, you know, but there's a difference. There was a couple of people that gave some interesting answers. One lady said that it shouldn't be your first course of action. I agree with that wholeheartedly, because in my house, I think I yell more than I actually hit. You know, my children know if I get to the point where I ever have to get physical, it was something completely outrageous and crazy, and I've spoken about it 15 times. You know, the punishment didn't work or whatever, you know, so that's one. Two, the other person said if it's done with love and you make sure you don't hit a person in a fit of rage, okay, that's true. I believe that. You definitely can't physically react to something you just discovered, because, you know, you can have more force in your hand than you realize. But if you have given a warning, and you have given a warning, and you have given a warning, and then you have given a grounding, and it still didn't work, and something instant is about to happen, or something, you know, outrageous that could be dangerous is about to happen, at some point in time, that person may not respond to timeouts or to nice talk. You talk after the impact. I'm sorry, that's just the way, you know, I feel it should go.
I tell you this much, Katie. In my mother and father's house, wasn't nothing repeated a second time. You better have got it the first time, because if they had to say it a second time, there was trouble.
Yeah, oh yes. Oh yes.
So it wasn't no second or third time.
Nope. It sure wasn't. And I tell you one thing, in my house, I tell them that all the time. I said, listen, your grandparents didn't give me a second time. You're getting the baseball rule now. You know, one time, two times, three strikes, you're up. You know, so they get twice I'm a safe and the third time is action. And that's how that goes. But I told them, you guys don't understand just how well you have it. This album, really well you have it, because we didn't have half the things you have. We had to earn the luxuries you have. The rolling backpacks, the cell phones, the computers, even though those things weren't an option for us as much back then, but things to that nature, to that magnitude, we had to earn it.
Yeah,
and
you got that right.
And our parents did not have a problem. Our parents did not have a problem taking the guilty feeling or feeling bad for us, okay, to get their point across. We give in a lot. I know us modern-day parents, we can't take our kids looking too sad for too long. Even the ones that are not trying to be BFFs, we eventually give in and try to use that as a way to reach them. They start realizing, wait a minute, if I look sad long enough, mom will give in, or dad will give in. To a point, though, men don't usually do that. Men will stick to their guns. It's usually women that give in. You know, and I said usually. So for those mothers out there listening who don't, please don't pick up the shoes to wear them, because they're not for you. I'm speaking about those that did it. So, Elaine, I'll pass the question off to you. Your viewpoint on the matter. Paula, I see you there. I'll be bringing you in just a bit. Go ahead.
Well, my viewpoint on the matter is that, I was raised in a certain way, of course, you know, just like everybody else, you know. I was raised in a certain way. If I did something wrong, and if it was brought up to my attention the first time, the second time, I would get what we call a pop out, you know? Or I would get punished, you know? So it's one or the other. Either I would get cracked in the back of my head for being so dumb, or I would get punished. That means I don't, you know, go hang out outside. I don't go to certain places that I like to hang out at. I stay home in my room, you know? And I remember when I was 13, 14 years old. Don't remember what I did. But I was punished throughout the whole summer, so all I did throughout the whole summer was read. You know, I read. I couldn't go to school. I couldn't go nowhere. So I just sat at home, upstairs, looking outside, bored, but then all I did was read. You know, so I was punished throughout the whole summer. I just don't know the reason why. I think it was because I disappeared and my mother scared. That's what it was. So, and I got really punished for that one. To me, if a child misbehaves, yes, you give him a warning. If he does it again, there is like some type of punishment. It's some type of punishment that not abuse is. Sometimes they go to the extreme, you know. And that's the main reason why ACS and hope and the government is like more involved. Because some parents, they get to the extreme of actually killing the child, you know. Yeah, do a slap at the wrist, like, don't do that again, you know, or beat them to death, which some parents have done, you know, and that shouldn't have never happened. None of that should have never happened in the first place. None. You know, I mean, if we stick to our guns and say, listen, you don't do this, this is the first warning. The second warning, you're against smacked. Yeah, okay, that's different. But the first warning, then all of a sudden you just get a beat down to the point you can't even go to school the next day, there's a problem. You know, so, I believe that, yes, you have to punish the child, but not to the extreme of actually hurting the child to the point of oblivion. You have to put fear into the child. That's our job.
Right.
To put fear into the child. That's what our parents did. That's what my mom did. If I hear my friends want to cut school, I said, you know what, let me go cut school. And the thought of my mother being around the corner, I said, you know what, I ain't going to do it. I'm going to stay in school. I'm going to stay in school.
Yeah.
Now, my mother and father had two different styles. My mom was a timid Latino woman, and she was about 4'9". And my father was 6'2". And he was of the loud, boisterous type. So I will say this. My father could give a certain look, and we shivered. My mother, she could get away with seeing it twice. But when she pulled out, when she went to that purse, we knew something was up. So either way you look at it, there's two callers coming in. So let me bring in the callers for one. Welcome to the show, caller. You on the air?
Hey, Katie. How's it going?
Hey, Rod. How are you? Hold on. I have another panelist. Let me bring him in.
All righty.
What's up, Rod?
Hey,
welcome.
What's happening,
Dave? Hello, how are you?
All right.
Hi. Okay, well, they hung up, I guess.
We're talking about those bad kids again, huh?
No, we're not talking about the kids. Today we're talking about the message in which you gave the children. One second. Caller, if you didn't mean to drop off, you can call back in and we'll be able to bring you back in. Okay.
Let me make this point. We're talking about discipline now. First of all, you have to know that you should never try and discipline your child when you're angry. That's a wrong move.
Sure, right.
That's a wrong move because if you're angry, that's not going to go right because you'll go a little bit overboard. So you make sure you have your wits about you and you're calm and you're thinking straight. You know. So this way, you know, you won't hurt your child because anger is a tricky thing to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, I had a problem with anger years ago, but it'll get away from you sometimes.
It can. It definitely can. You could find strength you never had before through an angry rush. And I would say that is a detriment. Well, you that I agree with 100%. But I will say that I don't believe timeouts work all the time in every situation. And I do believe that people need to start looking at the overall welfare of the child before they start saying a word about what they saw or what they believe they saw. Understand, I was reading, before I get to that, there was another response that was given on the Facebook where it said that some children, even in parenting class, they teach you about what they call the traffic light rule. There's the red, the green, and the yellow light, right? Now, first of all, yes, it's all cute on paper and everything, but it does apply. Each child is different. Some children requires just a loud voice and they'll tingle off and behave. Other children, you need to be a little stronger in the way you say things. So it requires a loud voice and a look and a stance. But some kids, it is about you know, you giving that instant impact. Some children, it is. It's not that a parent chooses to go that route. It really isn't that a parent chooses to go that route. Because the last thing that any of us want to do is to think on that respect. But the point is that most of our parents, especially, came from the Army. They came from that hard South or hard you know, children don't have any rights, you know, situation. And to a point, the one thing I always tried to alter in growing up was to give my children the chance to voice their feelings. But then you have to be careful with that, too. Because then they start to believe that they could say things to you as if you're their equal. And that's the difference. So communication, yes. I know one thing. I think you said this before on the panel beacon, that your mother, after doing whatever she had to do with you, would, you know, help nurse you up and tell you exactly why it happened. And I think that's a fair thing. If you're going to get a sanction, if you're going to get a whipping, if you're going to get punished, the children should know what they're being accused of, what they're being punished for, and why this happened. And then afterwards, you still need to reiterate why it happened and that you love them and this is not the way that you want things to go, but this is where it came to.
Right.
But a lot of people are just thinking about the actual situation of it. Now, one person said she never had to hit her two kids in all of their years, and I think one was in the 30s and one was in the 20s. And I say to that parent, and God bless you, you had a great, wonderful time. And there's many other situations where those children reacted to certain things and beatings were never necessary or you know, physical discipline wasn't necessary. But what happens when you have more than two or when you have one kid that doesn't listen? Because no matter what you do, no matter how much soft love you give them or tough soft love you give them, you know, what happens then? Rod, what's your viewpoint on the situation?
Well, I'm from the old school, and my parents would say stuff to me like, "You ain't got sense enough to pull piss out of a boot before that stick would come your way." I messed up. Don't run. That's a mistake. You got to come back.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going chasing. You got to come back. Oh, no.
Yeah.
But the problem I have with discipline is like, let's say with new girlfriends. Let's say you're the new boyfriend. You've done your 3 months time, and now you look at her, let's say, 10-year-old, 12-year-old who's acting up, and let's say daddy's still around. He's just not there no more. It's like, All right. Do I sit there and just fold my hands and let him act a fool, or it's like, wait till mommy gets home? It's like, when do I get permission to tan his ass that he needs? Or do you think I should have it?
Okay, are you asking that question to the panel?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so ask the question again so we can understand.
Yeah, I didn't hear you.
Let's say you started a new relationship. You do your 3-4 months time. A new girlfriend has a younger child. The child is like 10 to 12 years old. And in the past, daddy was a disciplinarian. Daddy's not there no more. Do you just sit there with your hands folded or ask mommy, do I ever get promoted so I can beat his ass like he needs, or do I just wait until you get there?
Oh, wait, whoa. Okay, nah. Let me tell you something, Rod, about that. That's a very tricky situation, but I will say this. If you are not already established to be in a future, long-term future with this woman, then this is what I suggest, that you do it from a empathetic sort of situation, whereas, okay, let me say it this way. You don't take the authority in your hands to be the other parent, not yet, okay? Not the step parent, not yet. But I will say this. If it's a younger child, younger children are going to get themselves in danger. And if you are an adult in the situation, act as if you would act if you saw a neighbor's child getting themselves in trouble and react that way. Meaning that you can stop the child. You can go, no, you need to sit down. No, you can physically pick them up and sit them down if they squirm. But you should call his mother right away, text if you're after, whatever. Let them know the situation, and this is what you did. Make sure everything's out on the table, because you're not in the position just yet to put yourself in that shoe. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You said 3 or 4 months. That's not enough time to do a damn thing.
No. At the moment, you're not even serious enough. You don't know what may happen at that moment. Just because you're supposed to have a child that is 10, 12 years old, whatever, whatnot, doesn't mean they could just lay a hand on them. It doesn't even matter if you're with them for 5, 6 years. With me, I was with someone that had a daughter too, and that little girl was a pain in the butt. But then what I do, you know what, that's on you. I go to the father, that's on you. Don't tell me what to do. She's not my child, but you better do what you got to do to straighten her out.
But if you're the caretaker and you're there, and I mean, you can use words, but you have to like physically restrain the child most of the time.
Right.
But it's not the child.
I would rather
talk to the child over beat the child or hit the child. I'm not gonna lay a hand on my child because I'm gonna have to face the mother or the father of that child.
Can I get in here? First of all, when you're starting a relationship, you said 3 months?
Yeah, you say 3 months.
Within those 3 months, you have to be interacting with not just the woman, but and her child both. You have to combine those together. And 3 months, in my opinion, is not long enough for you to step in and to be the one to discipline. You and the woman should sit down and have a discussion, especially if it seems like it's a problem child or disrespectful child, you know, and y'all come to some type of agreement on what's going to be done and how it's going to be done. You know, so it's not something that's going to be a shock to the child or something like that. You know, you should do things together, so and then you and the child, you know, take some time together and go off and, like, go out to a movie or something and have little discussions or whatever. You said the age about maybe 10.
Yep.
You know,
the problem is not you. It's just that daddy's not there no more.
Right.
And that had that rebellious spirit because now they're blaming you because daddy's not there. That's not the case.
Right. But I figure at the age of 10 years old, you could sit them down and talk to them because the way kids are now at 10 years old, they're a lot more advanced than we were when we were coming up. You know, explain to them, hey, listen, I know I'm not your father, but right now I'm here in the household, I'm providing for you, this and whatnot, but I'm not going to allow you to disrespect me.
Exactly.
You know, let that be known right up front. Say, now, I'm your elder. I'm not trying to be your friend. I'm not trying to be your father because your father is somewhere else, wherever that is, and you get a chance to see him, you deal with that. But whenever you're here, I'm the one that's running this household here.
Because it's like a baby boy situation. You remember that, right? With Ving Rhames?
Baby boy.
In the morning, he come in. You ain't my dad. You can't tell me nothing. Let's see how so. Yeah. Well, they had that girl folk conversation. Yeah.
If you remember that movie, it might have been Baby Boy, but he was a grown-ass man. So, I think Ving Rhames sort of did what he needed to do because he was trying to control his mama well past the age of dependency. Okay, so that's a different story. But did you say he was a child's caretaker, Rod?
No. That was a while back. He's grown now. I mean, that's over.
Okay.
Okay.
But you know what? I had very much experience with situations like that because I
had to stand up like Ving Rhames, and like I said, I got 9 years of that, and he's grown now. It's like that's been over with for a while, so no more headaches.
Right.
It's nice.
See, I had to step in. I had to step in and deal with four. I had to deal with four young children. You know, and they weren't my biological kids, but I wound up raising them, and even today, I'm the only father, and I'm the only their kids' grandfather that they know. I'm the only one that they call Papa, so I'm the one that's been there from the time they were born. So even the ones that are not mine, they'll tell anybody, say, well, who's your father, and they'll point at me.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy, he might have been. They called his father the sperm donor. I told him, I said, don't disrespect him like that. That's still your father.
Right.
You know, you know, but it's a kind of a tricky situation to where in the first beginning, I was approached by their uncle because I had disciplined two of them, but I had the permission from the mother. You know,
and I
disciplined two of them. They went back and told
them.
Go ahead.
Because I have effort positions from the mom, but it's like Dad and I had met at the time. I mean, eventually we met, and we had our words because I was still a brand new guy, and that divorce thing was still new way back then. But once the little one and I had the meeting of the mind, it was like a 1 year uphill battle. After that was done, and he's like, I was like, I'm gonna be here. There's nobody else going to be here but just me and your mom. And I'm going to be here, and I'm not going to put up with what you've done. You're doing. It's like once we got past all of that craziness, I mean, all the swearing he used to do, that stopped because he was really good at swearing. I mean, at the time, I mean, we're going back a good 15 years. But he was like six. He could swear a lot better than I could. And I remember thinking, oh, God, I had to turn my head and like, this kid is really good. So like an adult has been busting me out. So I had to turn my head because he wouldn't see me laugh. So but we had a lot of long months like that. And again, Mommy was the type to like, wait till your father gets home. But when Daddy's gone now, and I'm the new guy, and it's like, I didn't put my hands on him right away because it's like I'm brand new. It's like you got to let time pass. And it was a while. I was like, I'm not going to put up with this kind of craziness because you're not willing to stand up and say that's wrong and let him do whatever he wants. Like, you don't grow up bad.
Well,
but,
Rod, you don't have to put your hands on somebody to not take crap, if you know what I'm saying.
No, you don't. Usually the voice will work, but he was a really bad little Jamaican boy.
And you know what? Sometimes, understand, he dealt with the loss of his father. I'm not saying that his father died, but he dealt with his dad not being there.
No, the thing is, he could see his father every other week. It's like we would have him for a week. Then Daddy would have
that
next
doesn't matter, because what I mean to tell you is, as much as the father might be the biggest deadbeat drunk of the century, somehow, some way, what we know as adults, thinking that we're protecting that, they still have their own need to discover that side for themselves. I mean, I have a daughter right now that I went through a bad, she experienced the trauma. She experienced the trauma, and even before the trauma, it's always been me and the children. And then when it came down to this trauma happening and then she came out of it, then she made me the enemy and she felt like this was the time that she would finally get her father to be with her or on her side. And mind you, I'm the parent that did everything for her.
But mm-hmm. it's now that she's older and got better that she just told me, you know, I had to see it by myself. I mean, I saw Dad hitting you and all this other stuff, but that was still Dad.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So they she tried to convince herself in her mind that maybe it was something I did to support
mm-hmm.
that. And at the same token, she just figured that, you know what, if I'm the one that doesn't hang with Mom, then that means that six other kids that'll be out of the way and it'll just be me and Daddy. But she
mm-hmm.
went a different route. And understand that happened. He destroyed the image of his father. He sees him every other weekend, and that could mean that you're in the way. You understand? So that in his
mm-hmm.
little mind, there's still a possibility his father will come back. But now you're
uh-huh.
in the way.
Well,
so
I want to say that his dad was a deadbeat dad, but he was a good guy. It's just that he and Mom couldn't get along together. That's all.
Right. And if you were in the way, in his mind, he could feel that, you know, maybe his dad would come back if you weren't there. So you were the enemy. Understand that?
I had all that against me. So I had all that disrespect and all that curse and everything else. Like, I told Deacon, it's like, that boy had a mouth on him. Oh, like, damn. It cursed me.
All
yeah.
The things that come out of my kids' mouths nowadays, including that comes out of my kids' friends' mouths and stuff, including the slang they have now. I'm sitting
mm-hmm.
like, whoa, what that mean?
Mm-hmm.
What? Did you just say what? You know,
mm-hmm.
that's the type of thing. Now, I have a 16-year-old right now that thinks, you know, he could go into Obama-Bush debate with me. You know, I don't mean about politics. I mean that we debate like that.
Uh-huh.
And after a little bit of time, I have to sit there and go, hold on. And I thought,
mm-hmm.
who birthed who? Because I birthed you. You see how it works? Without
mm-hmm.
me, there be no you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's try again. Let's reel mm-hmm. it back and let's try again and bring your voice down a notch.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
now it's like the rolling of the eyes. And said, that's exactly what you're supposed to be doing because you're a teen and that's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Roll the eyes and shut your teeth, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you better shut your teeth where I can't hear it.
That was a lot of work, and I come from the old school, so I was like, there's no way I'm going to put up with this kind of craziness. Old mama side said, we got to talk. One of those bro folk conversations. Like, yeah, I know it's kind of bad, but they're like, no. That's why I said, Deacon, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, we grew up with you couldn't be, if you knew anything about a grown folk conversation, it was with you
mm-hmm.
trying to string your ears from the West Wing, and
mm-hmm.
it was you pretending you were sleeping and trying to hear. Because I
mm-hmm.
tell you one thing, we couldn't even listen to adult DVDs, which were VHS tapes at the time, without getting snapped up in some way. You know,
that would have been like Richard Pryor and Red Fox playing at the time, something like that.
And
it's like way
you,
deep
right?
down
you
the jungle, way down in the sun, that we back,
Mercy brought up something, and that there's a whole different culture in the way different cultures raise their children. Now, like I said, I came from two disciplinarian cultures, okay? I had the Puerto Rican side, and with the Spanish that came with it, and I had the Black South side. Okay, and
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about real South, not South Town. I'm talking about South State. And I had the grandmothers that passed it on to the great-grandmothers, that passed it on to the great-aunts, that passed it on to the great-aunts' neighbors. Then it got
mm-hmm.
to my father. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then they would be like, listen, you going out there and you go get in the switch and I think of the tree. You know, I would hear that. And then when I go home and tell my father that my great-aunt, who had nothing to do with me, that even he didn't, like, hit me, he'd be like, well, what you do? And I was like, I didn't do anything. All I said was, really? Go get me the belt. So it was
mm-hmm.
like, well, you damned if you do and you damned if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's the type of thing. But my father had the type of presence that if my mother said he's coming or he saw him coming, whatever you were doing, you stopped and you hightailed it to back home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, another thing was thinking, getting back on the subject, a lot of people
mm-hmm.
don't get. Forget the physical side of it. I don't know about any of you, but didn't the embarrassment of getting hit also make you think? I'm asking all of you.
I wasn't embarrassed unless they did in front of your friends, which they did sometimes.
Oh, see, listen, I was embarrassed just by people knowing that my father told me to go in the house to get beat. But my father used to be funny. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He would do like Three Stooges type stuff in front
mm-hmm.
of people and then whip your tail in the house. Like,
mm-hmm.
I remember once my mother called him and said that we were late, like 15 minutes late. And we were like, oh, please, he ain't here anyway. Because he didn't live with us. So it was like, we ain't here anyway. But we saw his little gray Impala come up the block and stop at a red light. And we were like, uh-oh. My sister and I tried to do the 10-mile marathon in 2.5 seconds back to the house. His car beat us there. He got out, tall as he was, he had to look down into his glasses on us. And he's like, didn't I tell you not to be out the house? And what was your mother telling me? He took us by the nose and slapped his hand down from our nose. So instead of people feeling sorry for us, they thought it was funny and laughed at us. And then we got inside and got the big stuff. So it was like, you know, you couldn't even just, like, whip us and make people feel bad for us and talk about that. No, he did things like grab your ear and shake your head and then pull you inside. Or, you know, they're like, God, you didn't do it like that. But we damn sure knew that we weren't going to do that again.
Well, earlier I heard you and Deacon talk and it's like, never beat your child when you got angry. I mean, I got beat a lot when my parents are angry. They grabbed hold of me and said, didn't I tell you not to
Yeah, I remember those same exact words.
I want you to know
the ones that talk to each other.
You, you hear me talking to you.
And you'd be like, what? Mom, but you're like 4 foot two. You can't even scream. You know? Let's get them angry. Get them angry and see what happens. And Wileen, you share that. You remember them telling you to go outside and get like the tacos? And I'm not talking about the tacos.
Oh yeah, the switch. I remember the switch more.
And the,
I remember having to cut down the willow tree.
In all my house, you don't see much of those, you know. But then when you walk around certain areas that is like a parking lot, and those things grow. And I was like, you want to grab one of those, grab one of those. I'm like, what is this? So I grabbed it, she went, wow, she hit me. I was like, whoa, that hurts me, that's my whip. I thought if you hit me, that's my whip. So my father, my father used a belt, I mean, once or twice on me, something like that. So I was like, oh man, never again did he use a belt on me. You know, so most of all, my father, he had like a hand problem. My father had a hand problem. You know, I guess by the time we got older, it stopped, you know.
And one of the things, Cola, I see you there. I'll bring you in just a minute. Now, in an article that I wanted to reference, there was a judge in, I believe it's Texas. And funny, the only thing that got me was that it was a Latina defendant. But one of the things was they sentenced this mother to 5 years probation because I think she packed her children to open palm with a wooden spoon. And this judge's reply was, you just don't spank children today. And then my reply was, well, that's why the hell we have a youth that we have today, people. Hello? That's why, because they walk around to my touch me and I will call 911.
Yeah.
And I like telling them what Madea said. My last kid tried to do a youth and dog 919. One second, let me bring our caller in, okay? Let me bring a call in. Oh, wait, I just got a response from a listener. One second. Okay. Well, you know, sounds like, are you serious? All right, let me bring a call in. Hold on. Welcome to the show, Coley. You on the air?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Katie.
Hey, LaShonda, you missing stranger. You, what's up?
How you doing?
I know you have something to say, so let's go. What do you feel about children needing to be spanked today or not?
You know, I loved when the caller said that when he used to get a whooping, it was like, didn't I tell you?
Yes.
that just took me like way back. And then they'd be like, and shut up and stop crying.
I know, then tell you to be quiet.
Shut up, what you crying for? You know, you getting your butt whooped, so that's what I'm crying for. But, yeah, I really enjoyed that part of it. But I think nowadays if kids got their ass whooped these days, and it'll be a whole, the society, I think, will be different.
Yes, it will.
I agree.
I honestly think it will be different. You know what I'm saying? Oh my God, so many of these twerking videos on Facebook. Just making
Now the parents, them parents need their butts whooped.
Sick to the stomach. I'm like, oh my God, how is this kid grinding on this kid? Like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, this kid gonna have like 15 kids before they 15. You know?
Yeah.
No.
Oh goodness,
yeah.
Did you see the latest
a
video
good
with
ass
the two
whooping
boys? Oh my goodness,
it's what it is.
Oh my goodness.
So I agree with ass whooping is what it is.
We didn't say that on the air. We said thank you, ladies.
Okay, we gotta come up with something else instead of whooping the kids. But no, we ain't gotta come up with nothing else. We need to whoop these kids' ass and just move it on.
Yeah.
It ain't time to communicate and, okay, I'm going to, don't be grinding on nobody because, hell no. I'm finna tear your butt up because, for one,
oh,
I don't do this.
You saw that video today. You saw that video today, right, Shonda?
I seen two videos, Katie. One,
oh,
it was
God.
Like an older couple of kids. They might have been, what, 10 or 11. But then
that's
you see the three
about.
And the four-year-old kids doing it.
Yes.
I mean, come
they're
on now.
Grinding. You know, that's their ballroom dancing, people. And the thing got me, what this guy was, this the oldest kid was about, what, 11 maybe?
I was going to say like 10, 11, you know, something like that.
11
and
10.
I mean, they had it going on. I felt like I was fucking violating whatever. I shouldn't have been watching it. That's how
I
felt. I
know. I felt
like,
you know,
wait.
We had condoms or something. I don't know. That wasn't dancing. This little boy was pulling this girl back to him and just grinding up in her like he was in some, you know, this is an adult.
Like he was in the bus, all kind of.
You know, like
cake.
He was in the doggy style position, if you want to call it that. That's disgusting. And he was just going. I didn't even hear no damn music, did you?
No, it was horrible. I'm like,
no, and I'm telling you, I hear the directors in the background, like talking about how, look, he's all in there, he's all in there. What? I should be all in your face.
No, that's, you know me, personally,
oh, no.
I don't think it's, and then when, where I seen it at, the person that shared it, it was like LMAO, like laugh my ass off, share. And my comment was, where the hell is this funny at? I had to go, I like snapped out and didn't even know I snapped out. I'm like, why is this funny? This is not funny to me.
That equals early pregnancy, that's it, period.
Early pregnancy, diseases, prostitution, pimping. I don't know what they think that the kids are going to cultivate from the scratch so early. This isn't Dancing with the Stars. This is
and at
10
years old, he become a baby daddy.
Because
they mature early now.
Yeah.
Then somebody said, well, we got to find another way instead of whooping. No, the Bible says
oh, not
ride
in that case. What are we going to do, walk up in the middle of that and go turn out, honey? You go to your corner, you go to yours, and let me explain why this is no good. We have a new caller. Hang on a minute. Welcome to the show, caller. You on the air?
Hi, how are you? This is Tamika.
Hi, who's this?
I was listening, and my phone, I was in the queue earlier. My phone was going in and out, but I certainly wanted to call and comment on this topic.
Can we have your first name before you go on?
Sure. This is Tamika.
Hi, Tamika. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
How are you?
Okay. Well, weigh in tonight, sweetheart. What do you think of this?
Well, the topic came up online, and it was regarding, there was an article, I think it was off topic, but it was regarding the little kids dancing. You can see your music and how that situation, my suggestion was, you know, I would thank them because that behavior leads to something dangerous later in life. I don't think that saying this is bad is going to be something that's going to stick in their mind at that young age. So my point of view is definitely, especially when they're that little, in order to get a message across that can potentially save them later, saving them should definitely be an option. I don't think it should be for everything. I think it's very individual. You know, with the parents, you know your child, you know their personality.
Right.
And what they want to do. So, yeah, so that's my view.
But, you know, if you get them before we get here, they wouldn't even be doing this. That's what I think.
That's right.
If you get their tails before, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And if you a messed up mama and you grinding while your child standing there watching you, then, okay, then that's your problem. You messed up and your kids messed up and the whole situation is messed up. But if you get them and you, like, just say, for instance, me and my husband, we ain't finna stand for none of that. It ain't no grinding. It ain't no, my daughter just had a sweet 16 party, and I use the N-word. I wish the N would get up and dance like they ain't got no sense. I wish they would. I want them to. Go ahead on. If you feel like it, go ahead on.
Because
I'm
going to
cut
it
to you.
I wish I called.
Shamika, I need you to speak up a little bit, sweetheart. It's probably not any of you. I think it's from my end.
Okay. I was agreeing. I wish I would even think my daughter would do something like that, because that's just a pattern. You're setting a pattern at an early age.
Right.
It has to stop. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's one of the things. I don't know how long you've been listening to the show. Is it Tamika or Shamika?
It's Shamika. I'm Shamika Much Love Pearson.
Oh, why? Oh, okay. Hi. All right. I know who you are. Sorry. Hello. All right. She's from the group that I always shout out, everybody. The Real World Discussion, Black Music Discussions Group. Okay. Shamika, yes. And as a matter of fact, you and the other participant was the most active responders on the pre-broadcast question. So, yes, I agree. I don't think that everything requires you smacking somebody in the mouth, the head, the ass, or anything. Excuse me for that one. But, you know, I don't think so. But there are times that timeouts, talking, you know, having that conversation to understand. No, not at that moment. You talk after. You give them the situation right now. Just like you said, if those kids on that video, I'm talking to both you and Rashonda, if those kids in the video had this happen before it even got to film, providing that it's not the damn parents themselves that's filming it, okay, it wouldn't have gotten to that point. And I'm hearing a bunch of ignorant adults in the background laughing about how they're getting all in. This boy was, I'm talking about this girl. There's another video we saw with the rapper who's supposedly trying to mask that garbage under it being an exercise fitness video for those cheerleading girls. Some of them were 10 years old in that video. Or lifted. And he's talking about twerk, no stomach, put just leg on the table. That's an exercise video for 12-year-olds? Are you kidding me? And he's sitting up there walking around through the field while these girls are wearing mesh stockings with their butts out in the air twerking on the ground. You stupid.
That ain't cute to me. I don't think it's funny. I think it's degrading. I think it's just somebody, maybe the kid don't need their butt whooped, but maybe the parents need their butt. Somebody need a whooping.
Mm-hmm. Somebody does.
And when I say a whooping, I mean a central cord whooping. Not no belt, yeah. no trees, no switches. Somebody need a central cord.
See, I ain't the only one.
We all had that walk to the tree here. We all had that walk to the tree. Go get a switch. And if you came back with one that was too thin, either they liked it because they felt it would leave more wet, or they hated it because it wasn't thick enough.
Anybody remember the weeping willows?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness.
I don't know which one of you brought up the point about they could have seen their parents doing it. Was it you, Rashonda?
Say what now?
That you said that the children on the video twerking could have seen the parents grinding up. Was it you that said that?
Yeah, right, they could have. I mean, maybe that's...
Now, let me tell you about that. You're absolutely right, because if that's where it came from, then that adult needs to check their behavior if they're not deliberately doing it in front of their children. And if they are, definitely something's up. But let me say this, too. one of the things that I've actually witnessed with a person who is very good with their kids, they have parties at night. The children are in bed by the time that the adult parties happen or whatever. You know, like everybody gets together, couples night and everything. Okay. It just so happened that one of the active, very curious, older 14-year-olds got up and was telling her little sister she was going to go sneak to see what was going down. As all kids do, you get curious about what happens when the lights go out. But now, this is the situation. When that happened, and
I keep hearing some background interference. I can't hardly understand.
All right, that's fine.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can everybody hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
This 14-year-old was sneaking downstairs to see what her mom's parties were like. Okay, there's a couple's night thing. She put her kids to bed, fed them, bathed them, everything. Now, one day, she happened to see her daughter when she was going to the school on a surprise visit. They had a little thing out, a little lunch break. And she saw her daughter kind of copying one of the moves that one of the couples at the dance did with a boy and girl in the schoolyard. Like, they were all showing the latest dance moves that they learned. Okay, she rolled up on her daughter. First of all, there was no talking. Then she whacked her first and then said, let's go. When she found out where she got it from, one of the things her mother said was this. First of all, if I wanted you to know or to act like me, when I have these parties, you would be invited, and you're not. You're in debt. But first of all, she says, I'm 43. I've earned the right to do things as an adult with the person in my life because she's engaged and she was going to be married like next year. She says, I've been with this man for over 10 years. You've met him, you got to know him, you know who he is. This man's going to be in my life. But no matter what, we try to keep our life personal, away from you. But this is the deal. If I'm doing this as a 43-year-old with my 46-year-old fiancé, and we're doing it specifically telling you need to be in bed and away from it, what makes you think that you have the right to do what you see me do at my age? Understand that. I'm not twerking with you. You can't listen to the same MP3 music I listen to in the same presence. We're not twerking. Okay? And we can't help all the time. Listen, how many of you have walked in on your parents having sex?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Everybody done got silent. You liars.
Yeah.
You liars. Every one of you. You all know that you have walked in on your parents making love at some point.
Well, I
okay?
said I did.
And
Katie, I have to say, that's something that we would like to leave in the back of our minds. I don't think we want to remember
that. I know, I'm crushed for life. I'm crushed for life.
Especially when girls are like,
everybody's got quiet. Only reason why I brought it up is because it's not like
I have my phone on mute, that's why. I have my phone on mute, so I was going to say something at the moment.
So Mika, call back in because you guys dropped, sweetheart. It's not like everybody is out there trying to let their kids see this stuff. And I'm not saying that the majority.
Thank you very much for bringing back the horror moments. Thank you.
I know. Listen, I had a big father and a tiny mother. So I got
a
bad flashback.
What's the first one? You
know
what the bedroom doors they have today? They have the cheek spring locks on them.
I was a managed little boy, so.
Jamaica, I love what you had to say. You're absolutely right. No, I'm sorry. I had it too, and I had it worse because my father was big and ghastly. So I have that vision for life. I'm like, oh Lord, I need antacid. But absolutely, you know, that happened. They come to that point. But there comes a point in time where parents are going to have to take damage control and not undo it, but manage it. But in the same token, LaShonda, I agree with you 100% that nowadays it's a majority of younger parents, you know, people trying to be more their kids' friends than anything. And that doesn't work because how often does something your friends say to you makes an impact in your life?
Right.
Or makes you listen. When you
and you know what she's saying about the parents, I think I walked in on my parents, but I closed the door so fast, and I'm like, what the hell going on? you know, you know how you just know real fast, like, wait a minute, hey, wait
well,
a minute.
That was
hot.
I think that's the shock of what, wait a minute,
for me, just for me and Marilyn, if my kids walk in, it would mess me up probably more than it would mess my kids up. You know what I'm saying? I'd probably be, woo, I wouldn't know what.
That
I can understand what was being said. We can talk. We can talk. You know, we can sing together, but we can't all talk at the same time.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All right, you're right about what you were saying, Lushandra. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying. I think I have walked in. You know, my parents, and it messed me up. Like. You know how you just shut the door real fast? Like, that ain't what the hell I just seen. For my kids to walk in, you know, me and Marilyn, you know, I think it would mess me up more than it would mess my kids up. I think I'd be so up like, oh, my God. Did they just say, oh, Lord.
Yeah, and then you have to come downstairs with some stupid story, right? No, honey, see, Daddy was trying to,
And Marilyn just run down the street.
Well, I'm just bringing up that thing. But getting back to wife thinking, I believe, is necessary. I don't think that nowadays you have to just walk up and pound on your kids or anything like that. But I think a lot of the old school needs to get back into this new generation. I think the government needs to stop giving these kids the false safety net of telling their parents, if you touch me, I'll call 911.
Right.
You know, I think
call 911 if you want to. I tell my kids, go ahead, call 911, because they're going to come get you and me.
Mm-hmm.
We both going to be locked up. Don't know where each other at. They be looking at me like I'm crazy. So I'm tearing ass up in my house. Do something wrong, over.
I feel that parents are up against a hell of a war. Nowadays, those that are trying to really be good parents and really be what parents mean, we're up against twice the villains. We're up against twice the danger. We're up against a lot of backdoor alleys and what they call the dark spots or the blind spots. There's a lot more stuff that we have to be in control of. And then on top of that, still watch our children. Hold on. Shamika's back. Hang on. Shamika, you here?
Yes, hi. My phone is acting up.
Don't worry.
I wanted to make a comment about something that you said earlier. When you were talking about kids thinking that they can do whatever they see their parents doing. Of course, we're supposed to be good examples, but there are certain things that we can do that is not acceptable for them, period, until they get to be a certain age. But I wanted to bring up the biggest factor on top of kids doing something dangerous to using spanking as a correction for that. But defiance is another big issue, the fact that they don't understand that they have to be subordinate to the parents. And I think that's another area that may require thinking as well.
I agree. I don't think that I don't allow my children to listen to things. And just, you know how the kids like to take their headphones out and put it in the big speakers, you know, like they put their MP3 on the big speaker and or the little iPod docking station or whatever. I do not allow my team to come out with any Eminem song or what Wiz Khalifa or whatever it is, that's not an edited version. Because
but there's a lot of cursing in today's songs, and they slung the B word around a lot.
And even with this open society, the FCC or whatever it is still has mandatory like radio edit versions. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell my children, if you want to hear that loud on the speakers in front of me, you better bring me the Little House in the Prairie version.
Mm-hmm.
As close as you can get. Because you're not grown enough to listen to the same type of music that my friends and I can listen to.
Yep.
First
I have
of all,
twin
I
boys. I have twin boys, and it's so funny. I'm right there with you, and they'll be 17 in December. And, you know, we watch Hell's Kitchen. But to this day, they'll say, Mom, when are you going to watch 8-Word Kitchen in front of me? That's the type, you know, that's what's needed. I mean, that's what's required for me. No profanity in the music, no profanity coming out of your mouth. So,
oh, no. I know you haven't been on this panel before, but I have my rule in the house. But I get this all the time. Come on, Mom, it's 2013. Who does that anymore? I said, in this world, it's 2013 out there, and I don't control the world. In my house, it's 1986. I'm the boss. You know, and that's just it. I don't want to hear you talking about killer bee, wiper pee. Do I don't want to hear it. Okay, I know what all of it means. I've heard it before, but you don't get to say it out loud in front of me. I know I can't stop what they do when they leave me. The only thing they need to know is that there's a boundary with me. I can't stop what their friends are going to pray for them or what they're going to hear in school or when they have to wait on the school bus to come home or the bus home from school. I can't control that. But I can control what they know I approve or don't approve of. That's the best we can do, and keep saying that no or knocking, being that brick wall that they've been into. I can't stop it, but I could damn sure tell them, you're not drinking with me. You better not pull out a cigarette in front of me. You better not be listening to Eminem talk about how he's going to rape a hoe or do this. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. If you're listening to it in the headphones, you better make sure I don't find it, because I actually go through their iPods, and I will delete whatever I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Right. And tell them, try again. There's so many ways. You can Google anything now. If you want to buy some downloads, I know a lot of people don't, but if you want to buy some downloads, I can guarantee you, if you go to Amazon.com or iTunes, it'll tell you explicit version or clean version.
Well, today the youth might be taking away their iPod, so they can't text or anything for a whole week.
Take away the iPod, cell phone,
that might be
computer, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and absolutely. If you grew up like I grew up, my kids ain't got no iPhones, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Not when you 16 and 9. I ain't have it. You ain't having it.
Mm-hmm.
I got my children what everybody likes calling Obama phones. You will get one that can send a text and get a phone call. And the only reason why I allow the texting is because at times I have to text real quick an instruction, depending on where I'm at. You know, if I'm on the air and they're at their grandmother's or their aunt's or something, I'll have to text because I can't be talking while I'm talking to you. So it's like I'll have to do that. But you don't need data. What you need to go on the internet for?
My kids don't even take the Obama phone, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
They won't even take them food with them. They'll leave them on the couch, on the fireplace. They ain't taking them Obama phone.
That's
they like,
right.
Are
they
you crazy?
You they don't have to do nothing. All they got to do is put it in. Listen,
you ain't got
I
no job. You ain't putting in on.
That's my case.
You better take
the
Obama phone.
I'm getting prepaid cards for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think no 8-year-old needs to have a damn phone. I don't think no 10-year-old needs to have no iPhone. Now listen, I'm not talking phone. I'm talking smartphone, data phone. I don't think none of that needs to happen. I think
they're
that
like $500 a piece, aren't they? With the contract and the phone?
Not me. I know how to take $500 and find it on the discount rack. I ain't kidding. But honestly, I have six. You guys all know that I'm raising right now. And all of them are in different parts of the town, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Different parts
mm-hmm.
of the town on opposite ends. So each of them, if one of them has to go pick up the other one, they need to be able to contact each other. One of the things is my younger one now has to have a phone, because she's by herself in that area, her and the two kids. So if I'm in work and my son needs to be able to call her and say, you know, I'm coming, stay with the principal or stay whatever, you understand if he's running late. But all she gets to do is pick up a phone or dial it. And even then, I still have certain numbers restricted to just her brother's, one of the people that I allow to babysitter, and my phone and her father's. That's it.
No text in, no uploads, none of that stuff?
No, the texting is basic, very basic. Like, you know, I could send something real quick, real fast, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's it. That's the only thing I'll tell you. None of that, you know, fancy stuff, because she doesn't need to be knowing who to meet in Central Park or anything like that. She needs to, mommy said, daddy said, the big brother said, big sister said. That's it.
Right,
that's
not
happening
on Twitter and Facebook and
no. What does she need Twitter and Facebook for? Listen, I already put up enough about my children in my photos, and that's it. I'm allowed to say what I want to put out there for them. That's it. But nobody can tag my child and do this or do that because she's not old enough to do any of that. Now, our friend is 3 years older than her, and her mom allowed her to, but they watch her crazy too. I still with it.
Yeah, put more of those pictures of those pork chops up there. I don't think we'll hate on you if you do more of that.
Right. Right. But I don't think any child needs any of all this excess stuff that Aiden sent. I don't think any child needs any of this stuff that Aiden sent. I think that's just breeding ground for danger. Because you know what? There's a lot of things that children don't know technology and don't understand. Let's see. Shamika, you'll probably be in on this one. And you too, LaShonda and Elaine. Now listen to this. You know how we get those messages, those advertisements, and it says free in big flashing letters, and then you click it, but it means something else. Either they mean you got to buy something to get that free thing that will flash. The children don't know that. They wind up downloading something and forget it. You got a virus, a third-party hacker. You have all sorts of stuff. But all they saw was it was something free that appealed to kids.
Yeah.
So
Definitely. I remember with mine in particular, I let them, I have a 7-year-old daughter, and I have twins that are 17. And with her, she got on the computer at a very young age, but it was monitored. I think a lot of times parents who allow, you know, their kids to be on the Internet freely, they can run into anything, and also predators being the biggest concern on there. As far as the cell phones, I think 8 and 10 are way too young. I remember when I got my 20-year-old son his phone for the first time. He was 15, but he was playing a lot of sports. And the twins felt like they wanted a phone as well. And I explained to them that, well, he has all these sports activities, so he has to be able to call me, you know. And one thing you said that I did not do, but I believe that there's something to that is when I first initially got him a phone, it was a basic phone, just to call me, just to send text. And as his grades were good, and I'm going to go get him an iPhone. It seemed like he had this direct line to all the right friends and also all the wrong friends. And, you know, that kind of caused issues because that's all he wanted to do. I mean, to make a long story short, he ended up selling the iPhone because, you know, I blocked everything on it so that he could only call and text. And so it just, I don't know, I think it kind of encouraged some of the defiance. I'm not saying that would happen with every child, but that was an interesting perspective that I had. I hadn't thought of it. And now that the twins are 16, you know, they have the smartphones now too, but I'm always, you know, monitoring them to make sure, okay, you're staying on track, you know, you're doing the right thing. But that's a very good point.
They're offering more and more parental software so you can monitor the phones and everything, you know, the calls. If they try to go to any sites and stuff, that you'll receive an alert, all that fun stuff. I'm sure they have lots and lots of that stuff out there.
Oh yeah, and
that's
then it was like,
so you can shut down a lot of that defiance. You can find out the numbers that he's called. If necessary, as a parent, you got to do that. You know, over listen to some of those conversations and found out how he's gotten around the software controls. So they can still do more or less what you thought you prevented. I mean, you want to know stuff like that.
Absolutely. And, like, when my kids are doing sports, we have to go to the school on this day, this odd day, to do weights. I like the locator feature on there. So I can look at the map. Yep, they're at the school, you know. So.
Yep,
there's ways that you can monitor it, but you definitely have to pay attention to technology.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I will tell you, my children knew that if I did give in to get them any type of fancy cell phone, it definitely came with a GPS family locator. And I have to tell you that first of all, they have a computer test for mom, which pissed them off anyway, because everything they thought they could delete, I knew how to retrieve. So that was one thing. The other thing was I always definitely had something where I could monitor them even being away from them, and they hated it. They couldn't stand it, and they knew if you want this phone stays on. You don't touch any buttons except the answer, the text, or whatever. The thing is, though, I will say, and I thank the Lord for my way of being, because it saved my daughter's life. at least it gave the police a chance. She was taken when she was 12 and by some very bad people from a bus stop a few years ago. And it led to a lot of other things, but the police wasn't doing a damn thing. And if it wasn't for Sprint and the family locator service that I had paid for, we wouldn't have found her. We never would have found her. So it was it was a thing that, you know, this, I think to this day she tells me that as much as she hated it, she thanks me for doing it. And I said, well, you can understand and appreciate that now. But I don't negotiate when it comes down to anything I could do. And I know all of you on the panel are the same way. I don't negotiate, because the day we stop saying no to certain things is the day we lose them. Is that enough? We're in a society right now where our children are really becoming alien teen power people, you know? And these people out there, they're getting stronger and bolder. There's priests becoming molesters. You're finding senators that's in sex scandals. You have all sorts of things going on. Now you got silly-ass parents that putting their children on film and then opening it themselves, doing things that we couldn't even do at 16, you know, without your father being in the middle with his arms folded going, what you doing? You look at him, you stand a little too close. You know? That type of thing. And it's, you know, listen, somebody kept saying this, and I think that the message was shared. Spank an ass and save a child. You understand? Spank an ass and save a child. You know, spare the life, spoil the child. Some people took that to religious obsession, meaning that, you know, I'm thinking Carrie White, for those of you who know the movie Carrie. Okay? I think that was abuse. Putting her in the closet and telling her that she got a period and she was a Satan whore or something.
Yeah, evil or something.
Right, that's ridiculous, because even God had a rule about that. But the whole thing is that when you know how to explain to your child that I'm doing this because if I didn't do this, that person would do it this way. That man that got arrested for beating his two daughters for twerking on Facebook got arrested, Mr. Gregory Horn, and I'm not going to forget his name, in Ohio. I feel that whoever it was that even thought to do that should be smacked. Because I even looked at that video again, and I realized not only the little girls were fully layered in clothing, which is something we never were afforded the luxury of having, but one of the girls actually put her foot up and had a full sneaker on that the cord hit just the bottom of her shoe. So where was the abuse in that? And to top it all off, if he didn't do that, some pimp would have had her doing it.
That's right.
And that's what
you have to look at the gravity of the situation at the point that, so basically if my child runs out in the road, my initial reaction is going to be, I'm going to be scared, I'm going to be shocked, but I'm going to grab him and I'm going to toss him, because that's dangerous. I think that man, that was his reaction was based on that. It's fear, flash. We should never thank our kids out of anger, but there's a whole difference in anger and trying to save your child's life. You know, so I agree with you.
Absolutely.
That was just a
reaction. I'm with you on that one, and I think everyone on this panel agrees. If you don't have the fear and the anger at that moment to handle your child yourself, I would rather my belt hit her butt than some pimp's gun on his butt, the butt of his gun, hitting her in the mouth and killing her. Okay? And at least I'm saying, I'm spanking you so you don't get in danger, while he's saying, I'm hitting you because you didn't bring my extra $3 for the night. And it happens. And it happens frequently. And it happens regularly.
Yes.
And for your son that's going out there running with the game. There was another situation. An uncle beat his nephew online. Apparently the boy didn't have a father. And the boy was on Facebook telling everybody that he was running with one of the known gangs out in his area. But the boy got killed by the gang later. Okay, but that was the uncle's fault. The uncle made him confess on Facebook that he wasn't part of anything. A week later, it just so happened that he got killed anyway.
Wow.
But you see what would have happened if he didn't try to stop it? That would have happened to him if he kept going in that activity anyway. And he wasn't even part of it, so he was pretty much giving himself a reputation that didn't exist. You know how hard it is to live down a room with somebody else started about you?
Well, he had the rumor that he's a real parent, even if he is an uncle. He cared about the nephew.
and everybody trying to put the death on him. How is that any way that the uncle's fault? The uncle was probably the last of the Mohicans in that kid's life that gave him hope. What were you saying, Rod?
What was it? New Orleans, wasn't it?
Or say that again?
Didn't it take place in New Orleans where the kid was killed?
I believe it was New Orleans, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he posted it again today.
Yeah.
I believe he posted it again. That uncle, listen, I commend him. I commend Gregory Horn. I commend anybody who, knowing the situation with the government and the whole nine, will still stand up, like you, LaShonda, like myself, like you, Deacon, like you, Elaine, will still stand up and go, you know what, regardless of what, I'd rather think of being arrested than to let you think that I agree with this person. I would rather do that. And I would tell, I tell you, because you know what, the minute that this happened and you didn't do anything, the same people who convicted you of disciplining your kid is going to turn around and say, you didn't do a damn thing, you're a neglectful parent. So you can't have it both ways.
No.
You can't have it both ways.
With people today, they don't realize that, disciplining or not disciplining the child, it could go either or. You know, there's parents out there that they don't discipline their child, and, yeah, okay, the child comes out good. But there has to be some type of structure out there for the child to realize, okay, this is wrong, I'm not going to do that again because I know I'm going to get in trouble. You know, and they have to understand, okay, I know I'm doing this the right way, I'm going to keep on doing it because I haven't heard anything yet from my parents. You know, and there's parents out there, they won't say nothing to their kids. Then the kids fall around, wreak havoc. You know, do whatever they can, and the parent just sits there and just watches them. Why? It's like the parent has fear in them of getting their child to get away from them, you know, due to ACS or whatever, whatnot, you know.
They're not worried about getting in trouble. It's the peer pressure.
Yeah. It has a lot to do with that. These parents are in fear of that.
You're not cool if you don't do that. You're not down.
It's not happening.
Absolutely.
So a lot of times kids are willing to pick that talk, you know, from their parents. If discipline, if we say discipline is out of the picture, I'll let my mom fuss at me to win the, the approval of my friends. So that's where the peer pressure becomes very dangerous. And that's exactly right. Their peers are their biggest influence, especially teenagers. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can weigh in because you've been kind of silent over there in the corner.
What's that?
I'm just paying attention. That's all.
Mm-hmm. You're putting more lines, Katie.
Well, if parents don't step up and do what God gave them the natural obligation to do when He gave it them, then the government started off. The government started this country on staying out of family affairs. Now I get that especially nowadays there are necessities for that agency. There is. Because there are children out there that's being raped and incested and molested and beaten and everything. But I'm not saying that, you know, they're supposed to be obliterated. But I am saying that they need to be aware of when to step in. And I'll even allow the fact that they have to report. I mean, they have to answer every report, right? But I believe that once you get in there, you need to look around at the overall assessment of this person. Find out if, you know, does the mother or father normally beat them? Are the kids with the prize of food, of clothing? Or do they have any type of other old bruises? And remember that you're dealing with a smarter, well, they're smarter technologically, but they're not smarter academically and common-sensibly, not nowadays. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they're a lot more creative. They're a lot more bold. They're a lot more aware of the numbers they can call. Okay, so I think that when these people are called out of their offices to invade the privacy of someone's home, they need to come in with their mind in open fear of understanding all aspects of the changes in today's society. And they need to understand that some kids need it. Because if they don't, they're going to head down into the... Honestly, they're going to head into some tense fest.
And
they may not get up
already. We're already fixing that already, too. I mean, there's kids out there. All right, I'm going to say here, for example, in Lower Manhattan, lawyers that were made for Lower Manhattan, during the summer, and especially now, there's a bunch of kids, I could say, like around 16 and below, hanging out. Right now. What time is it now?
Yeah.
In Eastern Standard Time, it's 10:02. It's Eastern time, it's 10:02. They're still out there hanging out outside. They have a little school tomorrow. And they're still out there hanging out. And we're the parents. Nowhere around.
If I see a kid
hanging out at that time, it's my child. I was pulling that girl by her hair, pulling him by his ear, and say, get your dirty butt upstairs now.
Yep. Somebody was about to say something.
Yeah, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Can anybody, anybody that's familiar with the Bible, is there anywhere in the Bible that says anything about a timeout?
Nope.
No.
When it comes to children. But it does say that we are to raise the child in the way they should go, correct?
Right.
And it also says, if you spare the rod, you do what? You spoil the child.
Yep, absolutely.
See, that's why I say quite a few times in conversations that I have with people, that's what our problem is with today's society. We have gotten so far away from the Word of God that look at all the chaos that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with our young people. We are allowing the government to step in. And if you look at it how history does, look how the Roman Empire was running things. They were getting into people's business. They were trying to tell the people how to live and how they should raise their children. History repeats itself. And if you pay attention to what's going on in the world, everything is starting to happen again. And especially with all these so much more sex offenders in the world. Think back to the time of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about where we are today.
The evil time.
People need to stop paying attention to what's going on in the world and stop looking at things worldly all the time, and let's start looking at things spiritually.
Yes.
Because if you don't, it's going to be over before we even know it's up on us. And the time is a lot closer than what everybody thinks. You know? When have you ever, when we were coming up, had a child that was walking down the street, and the parent tell them something, they tell them no, or either shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness, I wouldn't have any teeth in my mouth. You know, I could be in a grocery store or something, and hearing a child that doesn't look no more than about 8 or 9 years old cussing their parent out.
Yeah.
What kind of mess is that?
Oh,
come on, people. Where's? I mean, and then if you try and say something to the parent, they want to tell you to mind your own business. Mind my own business. Come on. If it's having an effect on me, because eventually I might have to shoot that child coming in my window in my house.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's another thing. That's for sure. I'll tell you guys. I'm. All of you on this, so y'all get ready for this jaw-dropping story. I was 18. I worked at JCPenney in Staten Island, New York. Okay? I'm picking up merchandise that this little girl was just pulling down and throwing and kept it moving. Now, the whole time, her mom is behind this and the front going, Michelle, stop doing that, Michelle. Don't do that. The little girl's going, shut up, B. Okay. They get to the checkout, and the little girl is going, you don't say those things. You're fresh. You're being fresh. She said, shut up, B. That's why Daddy left you anyway. You don't call me a stupid B.
Oh?
I was like,
wow.
What are you doing? I'm not serious. I'm serious. Now, mind you, right, I'm looking, and my jaw and my associate's jaw, my coworker, our jaw is down to our belly button because we were like, what? Anyway. This mother, I said, oh, her name's Michelle. How old is Michelle? She was, would you believe she just turned 2 today?
Oh,
and I said, if she's doing this at two, I don't even want to know what she's going to be like at 8.
Oh, sorry, my head would have been flying across the girl's mouth.
You'd have seen her flying across one of them aisles somewhere.
You know what I mean? It's like one of those quick reflexes that the parents acquire during time. That a kid will say, oh, well, that's what you see. You don't even see nothing else. You don't even see the hand fly out of nowhere. You just see the kid cry. So, like, yeah, how the hell did you do that? Well, you didn't see it? Oh, that's cool. You know, you have to pull in some kung fu on the kid. That kid would have had a flying hand in her mouth.
Yeah.
That's too
bad. But,
she wouldn't
need a dentist. She wouldn't need a dentist for this.
You know how I solved my problem with the little one I described to you guys earlier, way back when? I spent more time with him, alone, went to the movies. It wasn't just discipline. It's like we actually played together. I cooked dinner for him, lunch for him. And once he understood that I was going to be around and not just, you know, just be the mean guy always yelling at him, I mean, his attitude slowly changed. And he became bearable. He became a normal little boy. So as far as pulling the belt out, laying your hands up on him, slapping him, cursing him out, I didn't have to do that. I got to the point where I could just, you know, put my hands on the shoulders, look him right in the eyes. So now you know that wasn't right. Tell your mom that you're sorry. Because he has mouth, he would just tell mom to shut the hell up. And I'm like, hey, you never can say that to mom. Again, remember, daddy was a disciplinarian. Mommy was like, you gave my daddy away. You caused my daddy to leave, so I'm upset with both of y'all. So, yeah, but eventually that stopped. He became a regular little boy. He was happy sometimes. He was angry at others. He wasn't always that angry, uncontrollable little boy. So, but it was a long, up here, one-year battle. And once I got to the top of that hill, I was like, oh, you're a regular kid. I can't believe it. And it's like, why are you upset? We're out of waffles. We can go get waffles. Let's go. It's going to hard to get your waffles. It's over. It's done.
Yeah.
Little things. And it's like, oh.
Oh, that's crazy. But you know what? Good for you in sticking through it, because you know what? Mm-hmm. He was probably upset or figured that you were the reason why his dad wasn't coming home or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if he had a good rapport with his father, sometimes the soft, sweet stuff is more hurtful. You know,
I'm sure he thought he was going to be all alone, but I was there every day. And it's like, now you're not alone anymore. You're not being thrown away or thrown to the side. Mm-hmm. And he still got to see daddy every other week. So,
and he understood that daddy was gay.
Daddy was a cool cat. I shook daddy's hand, looked in his eyes, and he was upset because that used to be his woman. But he was good because, like I told you, he got a brand new woman, brand new girlfriend. Whenever he went over his house to pick DJ up, the girlfriend was like, goodbye. We'll see you next week, DJ. Bye-bye. But when he came to us, he was like, you're still here. And I'm like, yeah, I'm your mommy friend. She don't need no friend. She just need me. She don't need you. I'm like, damn. You know, we close to mommy.
All little boys go through it.
Yeah, he won't give up mommy, but it's cool for daddy to have a new girlfriend and run up in her arms and hug her and everything. But when he see me, he's like, you again.
Oh, man. You know what? That sounds kind of familiar, because when my father and my mother separated, I was told that I was the man of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I really took that to heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my mother, she was like, you know, a mother that liked to go out and have a good time. And, you know, I'm the oldest boy, and she used to, like, bring a friend home.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be up sitting in the kitchen at the table. Mm-hmm. He'd come in and, like, seem like he's getting comfortable. And he might take his shoes off. So I'm like, what are you taking your shoes off for?
Yeah, this is my house. What are you doing?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what did you say? I said, what are you taking your shoes off for? You're not going to be that long.
Mm-hmm.
My mother said, boy, what is wrong with you? I'm like, mom, if he says you're going to stay here, he's not going to stay. She said, boy, if you don't shut your mouth, I hate your mouth. I'm like, okay, mom. My mother would leave out of the room. I said, well, I tell you what, I dare you to close your eyes sitting up in here tonight. And he was like, what did you say, mom? I said, you can sit up in here and close your eyes if you want to tonight. You might not open them back up.
Yep. Oh, no, you need no
bubble. And my mother would come and call me back in the room and say, did you say something else? I'm like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did you say to him? I said, he better not go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I get a butt with it, but
mm-hmm.
she would go back out of the room. I said, I still meant what I said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had a hard time getting people to have friends come over, because they wouldn't feel safe in the house with me there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was basically
keeping locked
mm-hmm.
up, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you were the kid that had to lock up from the outside.
Yeah, you know, when you have company over the house, that dog that you had to lock that dog up, you know, put the dog back in the back room. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I was her dog in the house.
Mm-hmm. Oh no! Oh no!
Mm-hmm.
Oh God! I would have tore your
tail. So you know it's not easy, and I had a lot on my plate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you stood through it. And that's another thing, too. Real men step up to the plate. Real men do their part. And like mm-hmm. I was saying in our single parent segment, regardless of how well each parent can do it, the other half is always a needed presence. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter. No matter how well you can do both things, you're really not designed to do it. And
mm-hmm.
women could never teach their sons how to be men. They can only teach them from their point of view what is not a good thing to do.
Yes.
You know,
that was not the way it was meant to be in the first place.
Nope.
When a man or a woman come together and then they create a life, they're supposed to stay together to help that child grow up the way he's supposed to grow up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're not going to do that, why even get into that situation?
That's true, and
it just doesn't make sense to me. Maybe I'm a little weird for thinking like that, but I've always, you know, that's the way I was brought up, and that's the way I was taught. You know, even
mm-hmm.
though it didn't work out with my mother and my father, because he was like a Jekyll and Hyde, because he had a drinking problem. But when he wasn't drinking, he was like one of the best people, one of the greatest dads you would want to be around when he wasn't drinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But it was just like that Indian would come out of him when you get that fire water in him, man. It was like, wow, who is this?